Typology Tribe, Ian Morgan Cron. Welcome to the show Typology, on which we explore the mystery of the human personality through the lens of the Enneagram.
Hey, Ian, how you doing?
Anthony Skinner, producer, dear friend, how are you this week?
I am doing well, thank you.
You know what time of the year it is, right?
Well, summer is upon us.
It is indeed, man.
Yeah, which of course means it's vacation time. You have any plans for vacation this summer?
Yeah, man.
Let's tell us about it.
All right, well, I'm going to Colorado.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, you know, my daughter lives in Denver. My daughter, yes. Maddie, and her husband, Paul.
Her seven husband, Paul, the enthusiast.
Yep, her seven husband, Paul. They live in Colorado. And my wife, Annie, is from, as you know, from Colorado. And so we're going to go to the Mile High City of Denver, and we're going to do some hiking and fishing, and I may go with Aiden, my son, and Paul, my son-in-law, both sevens, by the way, to the Grand Canyon. We're talking about that and
that's
other stuff.
Awesome.
So it's going to be fantastic. I'm going for the whole month, too, of July, which I'm excited
about. Oh, that's
great. What about you? Where are you going on vacation?
Well, I think we're going to hit Florida again.
Ooh.
Yes.
You're going out of the heat. You're going out of the fire pan and into the fire. You're going up in the frying pan into the fire.
That's right. We usually do a week at the beach in South Carolina as well. And then actually my favorite is we run up to the lake at Dale Hollow Lake about 2 hours away here. So it's the second cleanest lake in the nation, actually.
Get out of town.
Yeah. It's like, it's all shale. It's flooded, man-made, and you literally, you're in the lake and you can see your feet. Get out and feel like you've been to the beach. So it's super clean. Love going there.
Well, listen.
Yeah.
The reason I want to have a conversation around vacation, and I want to talk a little bit about different types and how each type approaches vacation. And
I think this idea is great, by the way.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Right? Because I think every type approaches a vacation differently, should have different, right?
Yeah.
So part of what has prompted me to do it is there's a blog.
Okay.
By a woman whose name is Angie Orth.
Okay.
O-R-T-H. And her website is Angie Away, A-N-G-I-E, away.com. And she is a travel and lifestyle blogger. And on her site, there is a whole, you know, blog post or about how to choose the best vacation for your Enneagram type.
I'm looking at it now. This is amazing.
Right? And basically, she says here, like, the subtitle is, what's your travel personality based on the Enneagram? And it's super smart, right?
It's super smart.
You know, out there, sometimes you see stuff about the Enneagram now, and it's a little bit like, whack, 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 whack.
Right.
I found this one fantastic and, you know, obviously timely for the season that we're in. So let's talk about different types going on vacation, you know, summertime's here.
Yeah.
And then we'll blend in some stuff that Angie says here. She talks about how to use the Enneagram to choose your next vacation. I mean, she's got some fantastic stuff in here you know, the Enneagram and vacations. And she's like the expert on travel and lifestyle stuff. So
I've already clicked through to my travel agent. I'm on number four.
All right, man.
Chicago Architectural River Cruise.
Nice.
Tour around Morocco.
Oh, that is very four.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's come back to it.
Okay.
So let's talk about this concept that a vacation is a good time for each of the nine types to think about taking a vacation from the traps of their type.
I love that idea.
Right?
Yeah.
Just being mindful about type and how sometimes if we are lost in the trance of our Enneagram type, we're just falling into the same patterns on vacation that we fall into during regular life.
Right.
Right? And it's like, why not take a break from the downside of your personality, you know?
Right.
Take a break. So let's run through it and see what we come up with, and then we'll weave in some stuff from Angie here and make some recommendations based on some of her thoughts. Let's start with ones.
Yeah. All right.
Ones, the perfectionists, right? These are, as we have shared before, these are people who have a need to be good.
Right.
They feel a need to perfect themselves, others, and the world.
Yes.
They're principled, they're morally heroic, they're wonderful human beings, right?
Right.
Now, I think for ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that they have to take a vacation from is this belief
right.
that their vacation should conform to their standards of perfection.
Yes.
Right?
I love this. We were talking about this earlier. You want me to give you an example?
Yeah, give me an example.
Because I love what you said earlier. What if you're at the airport and your plane is late?
Oh, that can drive a one nuts.
Of course, right? Let's say 2 hours late.
Two,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's affecting your idea of what this day is supposed to be like. This isn't right. This isn't the right way to start a vacation. This isn't right that the plane is late.
Yeah.
It could totally throw off not just the day, but the whole vacation.
Totally,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. This is not right. Why isn't this airline got its act together?
Right.
This is not conforming to my ideal of the perfect vacation.
And you might be missing one of the best moments of the vacation, right?
Yeah, because you see, with a one, what often happens is they are always fighting with reality. Like the reality is that Southwest will never, ever have all of its flights go off on time.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So it's better to ask yourself the question in the moment, what does this unforeseen circumstance over which I have no control,
yeah,
right, offer up to me as an opportunity.
That's right. What kind of gift is this moment offering you?
Right.
And I love like the concept of resisting reality anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
out,
like.
Yeah. So I was out with
talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. So I was out with a friend the other day and he had the best line. He goes, you know, the world is full of exhaustible resources, coal, energy, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like gas, oil, all of these are exhaustible resources. He said the one natural resource we will never run out of yeah. is reality.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that awesome?
So good, yes.
So I think a one has to remember that reality is, any given moment in reality is just riven with imperfection.
Right.
Right? So, for example, though, if a one is attentive, here's what they can do. Wow, this plane is 2 hours late. Mm-hmm. I had not planned on that.
Right.
It does not conform to my idea of perfection. However, what if this moment mm-hmm. is an opportunity for me to have a conversation with my child at the gate
right.
that I had not built into my perfect plan?
Right. I think that's amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
And vacations, you know, they never turn out. They're like weddings, right? Vacations are like weddings. They never turn out quite the way you expect it.
And I love what you said earlier, too. What makes you think your vision of perfect is perfect?
That's right.
Right?
So here's a question I have written on my wall. It's a good question for once.
Okay.
And I have, as you know, I got like post-its of all kinds of quotes and ideas on the wall.
Right.
And one of them is, what is God's will for my life in this circumstance over which I have no control?
Wow, that is really good, Ian. I'm typing that one down. Would you repeat that one for us?
The quote is, what is God's will for my life in this circumstance over which I have no control?
That's so good.
Right? All right, so looking now, talk about Angie for a second. What has she got on here for once? Like she says, like that ones do well when their vacation has a purpose, she says, like learning a new skill or a theme, like wines or castles, she says. So she's got written down here, go to Napa Valley wine tasting and food pairing by helicopter tour. Right? That sounds
that.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right? And also writing on the wall, Singapore's culture through street art. I don't know. Sounds kind of fun to me, even if you're not a one.
Yeah.
Right? And then also, by the way, where would be a good destination for ones? I always tell people, a one country where a one would feel fantastic, Switzerland.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's clean. It's efficient. It's orderly. People really care about, I mean, think about their watches, right? They're perfect. I mean, everything tick-tock, everything goes great. So I think Switzerland is a great place for ones to go one hang out.
Okay.
You know? All right. So twos.
Yes.
You have a family member who's a two.
I do.
I don't have a two in my family.
Yes.
What's it like to be on vacation with a two?
Well, they can be pretty preoccupied with trying to serve the whole family in my situation, right?
And so, what's that feel like? What's the dynamic there?
It creates a climate in which no one is relaxed.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's like, wait, do I allow you to serve me or do I get up and help you? Or it's pretty complicated to navigate that terrain.
Right. So it's a little bit like the Martha syndrome, right?
Yeah.
Like you know, she's out there making the dinner. She's kind of a little, you know, a little aggravated that Mary's not helping. Those of you who aren't Bible students, this is just, I'm actually making an allusion here to a story that's in the New Testament. But it, you know, it kind of puts this pressure thing, right, sometimes into the mix, right?
Right. So one of the things that I do when I'm talking about the two in my family, the goal for me is to communicate your presence matters to me.
Mm.
And so instead of us all scurrying around and spending the majority of our time preparing a meal, then cleaning up after the meal, then preparing the next meal, instead, why don't we just order out?
Yeah.
We'll go big for Thanksgiving, order the turkey, order everything, and then spend our energy, time, and attention on being together.
Mm. And so, again, I think what we're saying here is let's take a break from the constricted trance of our personality.
Yes.
We're trying to get free of it all the time, but on vacation, I think sometimes, you know, when you change
your location
the
or situation,
location, the situation you're in, you know, your personality can actually become more, it can inflate even more. It can like go on overdrive because it's like moving into a new place, right?
What you said earlier, wake up in Italy and smell the bacon and eggs.
Oh my God. You go to Italy, you know, like first thing in the morning, you go, what's that smell? Oh, the two's in the kitchen. The two is in the kitchen making a meal.
Left early, did some shopping, came back.
Meeting the needs of people who did not ask for them to make breakfast, but they're out there doing it.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. And sometimes like a two, and God bless them, they're again, wonderful human beings.
Oh,
like
absolutely.
Ones are, right? But it's like, hey man, take a break from meeting. Take a vacation from needing to meet the needs of others.
Yeah.
Ones, take a vacation from the need to be right. Take a vacation from the need to have everything be perfect and just relax into your essence. Just relax into who you really are beneath all of that kind of like neurotic stuff.
That is so good.
All that material that's always buzzing around on the surface of your life, actually oftentimes running the show. You know what I mean?
All right, let's move on to the achiever.
Well, hold on a second.
Okay.
Let's talk about what Angie says about where they should go.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
So I thought this was fascinating, right? She said, like New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
Is a great place to go. And by the way, she puts links here under each of these types of different locations and, you know, how to find out more about it. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, you click on her ideas and options and it takes you to a whole new page.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's fantastic. And she says the people in New Zealand, right, that they just are people who are appreciative and, you know, are, you know, pretty fantastic for people who are helpers.
Wow.
I thought that was fascinating. That's I've never been to New Zealand, so I wouldn't know, but I guess, you know.
That's cool.
I'd like to go to New Zealand one way or the other. Okay, let's talk about achievers.
Yep.
Threes.
Yes.
These are those success-oriented, image-conscious folks that have a need to succeed, avoid failure at all costs, and to even, you know, signal success to other people. So I have right away.
Yeah.
I have a suggestion for all threes when they go on vacation.
Okay.
Do not take pictures of the exotic, expensive hotels and locations that you are at and post them on Instagram.
Love that.
Just take a break from it.
Yeah.
Right?
Like delete, maybe even think of the idea of deleting Instagram from your phone the whole time while you're gone.
Yeah, and I don't want to poke fun at threes, but sometimes, you know, and I'm a four, I got my stuff, right?
But, that's not a bad thing to do for everyone,
not. And I'm actually poking a little fun here. But, I mean, let's face it. We, in the trance of personality, we go on autopilot. And we don't even realize that what we're doing when we do this stuff is we are curating an image for threes of success by saying, oh, I'm having the best time ever here on the beach in the Riviera, staying at the Ritz-Carlton. And, you know what I mean? And
you and I both have a three wing. We know how to access that.
Oh, we definitely know how to do this.
We're not speaking from, we're speaking from experience.
Yeah, this is not an indictment.
Exactly.
This is an insight.
A confession.
Okay? Though I think, you know, for threes, a lot of times, you know, they have to be cautious that they don't turn every situation into an opportunity to signal success and to win the admiration of others.
I think that's great.
Right?
Yeah.
The other thing about threes on vacation is, you know, threes are pretty driven.
Right.
I think it's really important for threes to go on vacation and not bring work. Mm. Like, just don't bring any work with you.
Right.
And don't turn your vacation into like a productivity task. Mm. Like, here are the things we have to accomplish while on this vacation. Oh, by the way, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. and work until everybody else gets up.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, right. No. Take a vacation, yes, from your, the sort of the dark side of the type.
Yeah.
You know, like, relax your grip on it.
And we're talking about just being one of the gang.
Yeah, right. So for threes, it's very hard not to lead.
Right.
Right. Not to always be the driver of the bus. It's, yeah, very hard to be just another bozo on the bus.
Yes, that's,
you know,
right.
So let, you know, just relax and let someone else sometimes take charge and, yeah, decide what to do and where you're going to go. And don't let everything have to be an activity.
Yeah.
Where you're doing.
I think that's good.
Yeah, yeah. So on here, by the way, mm-hmm, Angie has some really kind of cool stuff that that folks could do for threes. Like, she is honoring the fact that they are people who have a very strong doing component to their personality.
Right.
So she's got stuff on here like going to the overwater bungalow in the Maldives, or an ultimate 10-day Namibia wilderness vacation. And then also this, I thought this was interesting.
And she's a three herself.
She is. And she writes about the intrepid digital detox trips.
I like that.
So anyway, go to her site, angieaway.com. Check out her her blog, which is how to choose the best vacation for your Enneagram type. You can all go kind of just scroll down and find your type and see what she suggests. She has some good insights about the types as well. All right, let's go to fours. Individualists on vacation.
Yes.
Fours are sensitive. We tend to be, you know, expressive, romantic,
right, yes,
imaginative, creative. People have a need to be unique and special. We get lost in our feelings, etc. Right? What do you think some of the challenge is? What do fours need to, like, go on vacation from?
Okay, for example, when my family says, "Where are we going to go eat?" I pull out Yelp and I research for 45 minutes thinking about where to have the very best meal or to have the perfect meal.
So this is interesting because can I just maybe play with,
yes,
language a,
yeah,
little,
yeah,
bit?
Yes.
So it's not so much that you're looking for, because I'm a four, I think I can speak into it.
Yeah.
It's not so much that you're looking for the perfect place, you're looking for the ideal place.
I'm glad that you caught me there, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's this ideal that you have, yeah, in your mind of what would be the ideal. Now, this is, yeah, something that I would say a four could stand to take vacation from.
Yes, that's good. And I love that language too, by the way, the ideal. That's the perfect description.
Okay, so one of the things that fours could do, mm-hmm, is monitor their tendency to be chronically disappointed in things that are not ideal. Do you know what I mean?
He just nailed,
like,
me.
This, like, don't be looking for an excuse to say, oh, this vacation is a disappointment.
Right.
At some level, there's, right, always something disappointing.
Yeah.
Instead of just being, waking up, here's the thing a four should do every day when they're on vacation.
Yeah.
Just in general, but here's something they could work on a vacation, which is just be grateful.
Yeah.
Be grateful for the meal you had. No, it didn't reach the heights of your ideal, but you know what I'm saying? But I mean, be grateful.
Yeah.
Just be grateful, you know, and don't allow some negative to take hold of the whole.
Oh, that is so good. And gratefulness is such a powerful practice and tool for us fours. How about something else? Do you have anything else for fours on vacation?
You know, I think another thing that's interesting about fours, like when I go to, like I was in San Diego a while back on vacation,
uh-huh,
and with our mutual friends, Randy and Katie, and my wife, Annie. And there, we were staying at dear friends of ours' home on Solana Beach, and just a beautiful beach. And I took a walk, and the sun's going down. I'm in four zone, man. You know, mm-hmm, like I'm looking out over the ocean, and I kept thinking, why aren't I having kind of deeper, more transcendent feelings?
Mm.
You know, why? I'll get my journal out. Maybe I could get some feelings going if I just start thinking,
yeah,
about deep stuff.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
writing a poem or some song
or
lyrics.
Put the right music on. Or,
oh my gosh, yeah, listening
ramp
to like,
the mood up.
Like, oh yeah, well, I've got like an Elgar cello variation on my head.
Have your
earbuds.
Playlist, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and just, you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to cultivate feelings.
Yeah,
I'm trying to cultivate, yeah, like deep feelings.
Yeah,
because the sun's gonna. I'm listening to the waves. It's, yeah, like, hey man, just be here.
That's good.
Don't demand that this moment give you deep feelings.
Yeah.
that, you know, and if I don't, what do I got to do? I got like, oh, how do I arouse them? It's like, no, man, just relax.
Yeah.
You know, just relax, yeah. You know. Now, of course, we like to be unique and special, and we like the exotic. And so Angie down here, she puts down three trips for fours. One is a tour around Morocco. That's pretty exotic.
Yes.
Another one is this hotel in the Cotswolds in England. Have you ever been to the Cotswolds?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh. So beautiful. It's the country, you know, it's sort of like the, oh, my gosh. It's the iconic countryside of England,
mm-hmm.
Right? I've spent a good amount of time in the Cotswolds because I'm a fool, apparently.
She got that one right.
Oh, my gosh. Has she gotten that right? Because it has all this sort of pining British pastoral countryside. It's like four territory. So anyway, go to AngieAway.com and check out her thing, her tips for each Enneagram type in vacation because they're pretty great. So okay, let's moving on to fives.
Yes. The investigator.
Ah, the investigators, right? Fives are these emotionally detached, highly analytical people. They wrestle with emptiness and they try to use knowledge as a way to avoid feelings of emptiness,
mm-hmm.
feelings of fending off a world that feels unpredictable and chaotic. And you know, isolation becomes sort of a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
For the five.
Right.
So I think when fives go on vacation, they really have to maybe put a little distance between themselves and this habit of just constantly having to gather knowledge.
Yes. And we talked about this idea earlier, which is great for every number, which is practices and practices on vacation.
Yeah.
And for the five, since they are information and knowledge junkies, perhaps if you need to read or want to read or gather information on vacation, then you get up and do that before the family wakes up.
Mm.
Get up early, spend a couple of hours in a book, and then once the family's up, you put the book away, you put the internet away,
right.
And engage with the family.
Get off the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
Get off the internet. In fact, yeah. Please don't continue to research the place that you're in.
That's right.
Right, so in other words,
yeah.
Fives often have a problem, which is they tend to observe life rather than participate in it.
Yeah.
So researching and just observing life in Florence or in Paris is not the same. You know, observing and studying is not the same as actually participating in life in Florence and Paris.
Oh my gosh, that's so good.
So put a leash on this knowledge kind of consumption,
yeah,
and just actually participate in the life of the place and the people you're with while you're on vacation.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
That's so good.
So she says here, Angie says, fact-finding is their favorite thing to do. So we can't completely shut down this part of the five. It's not a bad thing. It's just when it's taken too far.
Yeah.
So she wrote down here some stuff like exploring Israel and Palestine for, you know, going on an archaeological dig,
mm-hmm.
right? Or go on the ultimate Egypt archaeology tour or explore Machu Picchu in Peru.
I love this.
Isn't this fantastic?
Yeah.
I love this. So taking a vacation from this need to consume interesting knowledge and just mm-hmm. all the research and, you know, just never ending, I think is a really good thing. I'm going to be in charge of that compulsion. I'm not going to allow myself to have it control me. So I'm not going to spend my whole time, you know, reading and researching and thinking.
That's good.
Anyway. All right. So let's talk about sixes.
Yep. Loyalist.
Oh, the loyalists.
Yep.
Love me loyalists, man. Yeah. So these are the folks who have a need to feel safe and secure. So you know what? Vacation can be a little hard on some sixes. We know some stories of sixes, you and I,
mm-hmm.
who had trouble on vacation because of their anxiety.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it can be tough for a six just to even go away for a weekend, for example, and trust the kids with the grandparents.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I actually have a friend of mine who has twin boys,
mm-hmm.
and the first time they went on vacation and left the boys with their parents, and I think the kids were like, you know, I don't know, 14.
Right.
No, they weren't that old, but you know, they were little. But it was like they could not stop calling home to find out if the kids were all right.
Wow.
So it was this constant, like, well, what's going
That's
on at
a
home?
Reality.
I'm not
yep.
with the kids.
Right.
How can I have a good day? So there was this preoccupation with anxiety.
Yeah.
And what could go wrong? And planning. for what could go wrong.
You asked a good question, or rather you mentioned a good question for sixes to ask themselves earlier.
Yeah, so I have a good friend of mine who's sort of a counselor to me, and I had sort of a six moment the other day, though I'm not a six. I mean, you know, we all have features of different types within ourselves.
Yeah.
And he, I was really caught up in full of self-doubt, like a lot of sixes are, in self-questioning. Like, I was just stuck, right? And I had to make a decision about something. And he said, all right, what would you do if you didn't feel afraid?
I love this question. I love this question. And I think it's a great question for all of us to ask ourselves.
Yes.
But yes, I think it's a really, really pertinent question for sixes in particular.
I think it's a good question for sixes to ask all the time, especially when they get caught in analysis paralysis, which is to say, okay, now what would I do in this situation if I didn't feel afraid?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the way to put the question. What would I do in this situation if I didn't feel afraid?
That's so good.
And, you know, I'll tell you what, it was so clarifying for me in the moment. I was like, oh, I know what I need to do.
Yeah.
It was like someone blew the fog out of the room, the smoke out of the room. And I was like, oh, it's totally clear. If I wasn't afraid, I would do this. And then when I told him that, he goes, okay, sounds like you've got a plan.
That's great.
Yeah, it was great. So that's sixes. Awesome.
Yeah, what
is
she
This is what
say
she
here?
Says on here. She says sixes can be cautious at best and suspicious and anxious at worst. So their most fulfilling vacations is one where they feel secure and can still have a good time. She says a group tour with a trusted company like Intrepid, she puts a link to this company, is a great option. And travel insurance is a must for hesitant sixes,
that's
great, is what she writes. And then gives us three like different trips that people could go on. I'll let people go to the site and see them for themselves. But in every one of these instances, what we're talking about here is self-awareness.
Yes.
So if the one is aware, okay, I have a need to be right.
Yeah.
If I'm in trance,
I
need to be right. I need to keep doing something.
Right.
I become angry when my vacation doesn't go perfectly or according to or conform to my standards of perfection.
Right.
Well, if you know that and you're self-aware and you feel that resentment rising up in the moment, you can go, uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's a red flag, man. And you go like this. You go, I'm choosing peace.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose peace over perfection.
Right.
And a two might say, I feel this compulsion to meet the needs. I'm going to tell my son-in-law and my daughter, hey, I'm going to take care of the kids. Why don't you go out and have fun at the beach? But the son-in-law and the daughter are going, why do I feel like there's something?
Laced with trap doors.
This might have icky things attached to it.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
And it's like, no, we'll take the kids with us. No. I want to stay here. And it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Right? And if the two can have self-awareness and see it.
Yeah.
And they go, I'm going to take a vacation from that.
Yeah.
Or if the three says, you know what?
That's so
I feel
good.
The need to put a picture of myself up on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, standing next to the Eiffel Tower so everyone knows I could afford to go to Paris. Or my being in Paris messages success. It's like, when he feels or she feels that pull, it's like, no.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
That's
Discipline
good.
Yourself. You be in, like, don't let your ego be in charge.
Yeah.
Let your essence, your true self be in charge.
That's so good.
And we can go on through, right, every type. If
yeah.
When the sixes feel scared.
Yeah.
Stop and ask yourself good questions. Like, what do I need to take a vacation? I want to take a vacation from my anxiety.
Yeah.
That's by just being so aware good. Of it.
Yeah. Did we mention what she offered for the sixes?
We didn't. She has like guided tour of the Balkans. She's got a bunch of restful week in Nevis. I mean, so there's a bunch of different things that people can do. But we can't really. There's so many here. It's a fantastic blog, right?
Right.
So, all right, enthusiasts. These are people who know how to vacation, buddy. Okay, you enthusiasts know how to vacation, right? She says here, sevens are busy, fun, spontaneous, versatile, distractible, and scattered. No, they can be. That's for sure. They want to do everything, everywhere, all the time. They love to have fun and be on the go. They're literally and figuratively all over the place. I have to say, having a seven child who I have traveled with a lot, man, they do love to travel.
Oh, man. Absolutely. And so fun to travel with. But in terms of giving the seven something to be mindful of, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I think sometimes a seven is better at planning fun than actually having fun.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is very true. And often when they get to the place that is the site yeah. of the projected fun. They're disappointed.
Yeah, and planning the next adventure.
And already off into the next, planning yeah. the next adventure. Right. So it is hard for a seven to quiet their monkey mind and just be present right. in the experience.
Yeah.
You know, to have a more contemplative approach.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I am just going to be here now.
Yeah.
Be here now
yeah.
is a good, like, screensaver for sevens, you know, that they should actually print on the back of their eyelids. Be
yeah.
here now.
Yes.
In this moment and enjoy it right where you are.
What might be a good practice for a seven on vacation?
You know, one of the things that a seven can do as a challenge
yeah.
is get up in the morning and do a 10-minute mindfulness exercise every morning on vacation.
I like that.
10 minutes of mindfulness meditation before they go into the day, just to center themselves and be present to the moment.
Yeah.
And not allow their monkey mind to take over and start running the show.
Yeah.
And but can I just say one more thing?
Yeah.
And also not feel compelled to be the court jester for the vacation.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I have to be the guy that keeps everything up. I need to be the woman who just keeps everyone laughing. I need yeah. the person who has that extra beer and dances on it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
just calm down.
Yeah, that's good.
She's, by the way, I don't know how long, I mean, you could just write an endless list of places for sevens to go, as long as it's not boring or where they feel stuck.
That's right. That's right.
They could just be fantastic. One of the ones she has here is a week-long extravaganza at Universal Orlando, and I can attest to the fact that having lived with sevens, that would be a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Moving on to eights, the challengers.
Yes.
Mm. Self-confidence, she writes, decisive, willful, confrontational, boisterous and bold, and they're not afraid of a challenge.
Now, you're familiar with the eight.
Oh, boy. My mom is an eight. My daughter's an eight. Oh, yeah, I know some eights. And I've traveled with eights before.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one thing. You never feel unsafe around an eight on vacation, man. You feel like you got a bodyguard in the house. You know, you can go just about anywhere. She writes down here, like, adrenaline and survival skills in Australia.
Wow.
She talks about the idea that Australians aren't afraid. They can just bring it on. You know what I mean? They're kind of like bring it on people, which I thought was fascinating.
So what are some things that eights need to watch for on vacation?
I think working on moderation.
Okay.
And not allowing vacation to become an opportunity to kind of take that lustful approach to life, like just going over the top.
Yeah.
In terms of all that energy and wanting to consume, you know, I know eights go on vacation, they drink, they overdrink, they overeat, they overparty, they over, it's too much, right? So for an eight to just to dial back into practice, a little bit of moderation and, we in Enneagram speak, we'd say, right, chastity, just sort of not in the sexual sense of the word, but just, you know, exercising some discipline over that sort of lust for life dimension of the personality when it goes out of control.
Right. So, Ian, I've been holding this question for a minute.
Yeah.
Earlier, we were talking about happiness programs.
Yeah.
And you mentioned how when we go on vacation, it's an opportunity actually to release strategies that make your life work. What did you mean by that exactly?
Yeah.
Well,
you know, every type, I think, has a happy. We all have happiness programs. If I do this, then I will be happy.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, here's a question every type should answer, right?
Yeah.
If I do blank, or if I blank, then I will be happy.
Right.
So it's like for a one, it would be like, well, if I can perfect the house, then I'll be happy. If I perfect my work life, it's, you know, whatever. If I perfect anything, I'll just be happy.
Yeah.
For twos, if I meet the needs of other people, then I'll be happy.
Right.
For threes, if I'm successful and others admire me, then I'll be happy. So it's like, well, wait a minute. If you go through every type, I can do this, right?
Yeah, right.
What happens if you just were to begin to question your happiness program?
Right.
And to say to yourself, does
if
that
I
actually
blank, blank,
work?
Blank, right, yeah.
Does that actually work?
Right.
You know, and the answer is no.
Mm.
None of them work, right? And they actually give us less than what we really want. So, for example, you could say for ones, well, ones want to be good, but they settle for being right.
That's so
or
good.
Twos want to be loved
and appreciated.
Well, but I would say this. I think that twos want to be loved, but they settle for appreciation. And appreciation is a it's a far cry from love. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I think for threes, you know, I think threes want love. and esteem. They want to be valued, feel worthwhile,
right.
But they settle for admiration.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, the list could go on.
Yeah.
Every type could just fill out this questionnaire for themselves. If I blank, then I will be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're honest with yourself, you'll write down for your type, whatever that is, or for your own personal life, and then look at it and say to yourself, is that true?
Mm.
Because the answer is invariably no.
That's right.
The formulas that we devise as little people to that we think are going to keep us perpetually happy, they never work out.
Mm.
They never really work out.
That's good.
You got to find other ways to be in the world.
So be aware of your happiness program.
Yeah, name it and be careful that you're not sort of falling into the belief that's underneath it, that because it's not true.
Yeah.
It's just not true, right? All right, let's finish up with nines.
Yep.
Nines, the peacemakers. Oh, yeah. They're great traveling companions.
Yep.
Because they're so accommodating and easygoing.
Right.
And like my wife's a nine. I've traveled with nines before on vacation, and they're so great because it's like, hey, you want to do this? Sure. Hey, we're going to go down to the beach. Great.
Right.
Now, part of what a nine has to do, I think, on vacation is to stop and say to themselves, okay, do I really want to do this? Am I just merging with what the group wants to
right.
do?
Right. For nines, maybe say, hey, I want to do this. Y'all want to come along?
Yeah. Or to even do something bold for a nine, which is I'm going to break away from the group
yeah.
and not fuse with it and
right.
go do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Even if they say they don't want to join me,
yeah.
I'm still going to do it.
Right. That's good. I think that's a good one.
I think a nine can just about go anywhere, but they're great. I love what she has here, a yoga and spa adventure in Bali. You know, they just love laid back times. My daughter
right.
Maddie's a nine. I love traveling with Maddie.
Yeah.
Because I, as a four, I have, for different reasons, a love for the same activity, which is hanging around in bookstores, drinking caffeine, you know, drinking cappuccino,
right.
Smoking a cigar at a wonderful, you know, table at a cafe in Paris somewhere. And
yeah.
I'll journal and she's just chill. And it's like, we get along great. Cause she's like, she doesn't put any expectations on. She just rolls with the flow. I love vacationing.
That's where nines and fours can be a perfect tandem right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They totally can be. So I am excited for vacation.
Yes.
This summer and being out there in the mountains of Colorado, maybe going swimming and hiking.
You're
going
to be doing some outdoor activities this summer in Colorado.
I am.
I assume when you're swimming, you won't be wearing a shirt.
Yeah. Where are we going?
Are you prepared for that? You're looking pretty good. What's been going on here lately?
Oh, you're looking at my biceps.
Yeah, man.
You?
I can see it. I noticed it earlier
today.
You can
see I'm getting buff.
What's going on there?
All right. So you know what? I've got a trainer now.
Really?
Well, I've had one for a while.
Okay.
You know that. Tim Bogey at Southern Sculpt Fitness.
Okay.
They're here in Nashville. And you know what? It's a pretty awesome operation there, man. I want to say, so here's the deal with them,
yeah.
right? And I think this is true. Like, the Enneagram is about, you know, knowing who we are better and what our interior world is like. But we can't not pay attention to our bodies, our exterior, you know, expression of who we are.
Absolutely.
Our health and stuff like that. So I got Tim
yeah.
and the guys at Southern Sculpt Fitness to be my trainers, right?
Uh-huh.
And I've lost weight. I'm starting to,
I'm starting
to get a little bit of definition in this old man's muscles and stuff like that, right? And here's the thing: I'm a big fan of one-on-one coaching and training because if I got to go to the gym,
uh-huh.
it's hard for me to get out to do it. And
right.
if someone comes to my house and says, "All right, get out of bed, you got 1 hour of workout with me,"
right?
And like they show up with bands, so it's like you don't have to have a
oh,
gym.
Oh, so he comes to you?
He comes to my house.
Wow. Okay.
And all the guys, so there's a number of guys, right?
Okay.
It's not just Tim. I mean,
yeah.
they got a whole crew at Southern Sculpt Fitness.
Okay.
And they come to the house. We do bands.
Yeah.
We do kettlebells. He brings all the stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not like I got to have like weights in the house. They just show up and
That's
it's
great.
Just personal training. What I love about them is they really know they're in a game. It's like I've been to club. Been around club trainers before,
yeah.
and some are good, but most are. I've gotten hurt before.
You never quite know what you're going to get,
right? And these guys really know about physiology. They know about the cutting edge stuff in training, and I love Tim Bogey. I love the guys at Southern Sculpt Fitness.
So what mornings do I need to drop by?
What's that?
What mornings do I need to drop by the house?
Well, you can put together two or three guys and they'll work with you.
Oh, that's cool.
So for over 5 years,
Southern
Sculpt Fitness has helped people change their lives by incorporating fitness into their daily lives. They know that quick fix programs don't bring long-term success. They teach you the essentials to healthy living and create an environment where you can become the best version of yourself. Now, for all you local Nashville listeners, if you're ready to get started, vacation's coming.
Come on.
Come on. You can call for a free consultation at 615-807-0474. And for those of you outside of Nashville, there's still an online option for you as well. And as a special bonus to Typology listeners, visit www.southernsculptfitness.com/typology or mention the show when you call and get a 20% off.
That's awesome.
Your first personal training package.
That's fantastic.
And you can start to look
like,
as good as
Ian Morgan Cron. Who's looking good right now?
I am feeling pretty good about myself.
That's good.
You know, feeling good.
Yeah, man. You're ready for vacation, and now you've gotten the rest of us ready.
You ready for vacation?
I'm ready.
Yeah, man. Hey, and listen, check out AngieAway.com, her blog, How to Choose the Best Vacation for Your Enneagram Type. She's a travel blogger, lifestyle blogger. Really want to, you know, just encourage people to check out her site because she just does have this great whole thing on vacation ideas for every Enneagram type.
Yeah, this site is amazing. And to make sure everyone gets that, it's AngieAway.com, AngieAway.com.
Hey, can I give you one more question?
Yes.
Everybody should ask each other the day before or on the first day of vacation.
All right.
If you're with a family or with a group of friends, you ask the question, what is it you need and want from this vacation?
That's good.
And not assume that everybody wants and needs the same thing you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then listen to everybody and what their hopes for the vacation are and what
that
they need.
So good.
And what they want. And then just try and make that vacation possible for others, trusting that they will help you accomplish and achieve what you need from that vacation as well.
That's a great one to end on.
And when you're on vacation, be yourself.
Everybody else is already taken.